Project, the only show on the air dedicated to bringing about a voluntary society. No government apologetics here. Speaking of government, not really something I like to focus on, but the whole thing going on in New Hampshire, I briefly mentioned this during with one of the callers last week. I want to mention it again. I didn't get a lot of time to talk about this. I just, it's one thing about the judges just being rubber stamps for government, because of course the judges get paid and are government. Of course, if they don't get that $622,000 or $630,000 from the Browns, well, that's directly affecting their job, because that's how they get paid. That's one thing, you know, because that's the nature of government, being a gang of killers, thieves, and liars. Excuse me.
I mentioned this case on a previous show.
I think we have some feedback there, Manny. There we go. It's one thing knowing the nature of government being a gang of kill, thieves, and liars, that you can expect that you're going to get nothing but pro-government decisions, and they're criminals. That's just exactly what they are. But when you have a jury who's not supposed to be government, when you have a jury that is complicit in it, last week just publicly just shame on this jury in the Ed Brown case. How do you convict somebody of tax evasion for willfully evading an obligation when you have agents from the IRS on the stand admitting there's no evidence that they're taxpayers? Okay? They admitted this. This is not something that was hidden. This is not something that was done outside of the jury. The agents admitted this on the stand. Now, I wasn't there. I'm just going by the reports. How in the world could 12 people with functioning brains, with even the least bit of common sense, even with the slightest understanding of the law, possibly convict? How do you get 12 of them to unanimously convict? What does that say about these people that were picked for the jury? Okay, that's what I've said for a long time. The closer you get to a jury making a decision, that's the closer you are to being convicted, because you have to be so completely devoid of common sense to have the agent, this is what staggered, to actually have the agent on the stand admitting there's no evidence that they're taxpayers. And if there's no evidence that they're taxpayers, there's no evidence that there's an obligation. If there's no evidence that there's an obligation, well, then you can't show that they willfully evaded something that didn't even exist. Oh, yes, I can hear the attorneys now. Well, they have to prove that they didn't believe that they had an obligation, and they didn't do that. No, the burden of proof, everybody, for those few people out there who don't get it, the burden of proof in a criminal case is not on the defendant. It is not up to the defendant to prove anything. It is not up to the defendant to present any facts whatsoever in their defense. The only thing for a defendant to do is to show that there are no facts against them, which is what they did. And the jury convicted them anyway. Lunacy. My name is Mark Stevens. You're listening to the No State Project. When we come back, we will be talking with Sagas, one of our silent sponsors, talking about having his traffic case kicked out, which is always a good thing. I can't hear enough of those stories. So don't go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss a moment of this.
Many of us have unhealthy habits that we've accumulated over the years. Often our bodies are crying out for the nutritional building blocks we require to stay young and strong, but we simply ignore the signs. Inner Health Botanicals, home of Inner Food, the revolutionary energy drink, and Nutra Cafe, the healthier coffee, offers natural and organic whole food supplements that are keys to optimum health. Our Enerfood formula delivers increased energy, incredible nutrition, and consistent use will support your immune system, greatly benefiting your health. EnerHealth uses as many organic, wildcrafted whole foods and herbs as possible. Wholesome nutrition and a healthy immune system make a huge difference in your lifestyle. Heal yourself through whole foods and herbal nutrition. Visit EnerHealth at enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-food.com. Or call 866-762-9238. EnerHealth is your one-stop source for energy, nutrition, and health. Look for daily specials.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
KU Band Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellite is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees, ever. Take advantage of our introductory offer and order your KU Dish receiver today for only $149 plus shipping and handling, and begin enjoying our highest quality audio available 365 days a year. Visit our website, www.rbnlive.com, for more information, or call 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Clean, consistent, and affordable.
Welcome back. Mark Stevens, author of Adventures in Legal Land. This is the No State Project. I want to thank our silent sponsors, JT, Mark, and Sagas. Sagas, who will be joining us in a few minutes, had a traffic case kicked out, so that is what we will be discussing. And one of the things that I wanted to mention about, one of the things that the Browns had done was file two motions for a bill of particulars asking for the government or the U.S. attorney to more fully explain the indictment. This is just a standard thing that you do, and, you know, so like in a civil case, a motion for more definite statement. Just basically tell me what in the world you're talking about so that I can intelligently respond to this. And, of course, the judge denied the motions twice, stating that the information contained in the indictment was sufficient. Now, if you've ever read an indictment in a tax case, and I've read quite a few of them, not against me, thank goodness, but you can get them online and you can read them. When you read the indictment itself, because I'm sure that the average person on the grand jury just wants to go home, that they don't typically understand exactly what's going on, really no different than, you know, the average person just doesn't understand these things. Like when I write in the book that IRS agents, for example, don't know the difference between an opinion and a fact. To them, it's one and the same thing. And you ask for the facts to prove this obligation existed, and, well, Mark, the courts have clearly ruled. You're talking about the courts have clearly ruled in this particular case? With this set of, give me the facts. I don't want an opinion. See, when the courts talk, that's an opinion. That is a lawyer giving you his opinion based on a certain set of facts, which are not the facts here. They don't get this. So when you read an indictment, if there was any justice whatsoever, in the federal system at all. Not one single indictment that was passed, the ones like the ones that I've read, which are just cookie cutter type things, not one of them would ever, ever lead to a warrant for arrest, because the judge, who is supposed to know what he's talking about, so we'll excuse the grand jury and the prosecutor, because the prosecutor is just some overzealous guy who wants to be a judge. He's not concerned with right and wrong. He's not concerned with the truth. He's concerned with convictions. He's concerned with taking as much property as possible. And we can excuse that. But the judge is supposed to know the law. So when he gets an indictment, he knows that with any complaint, you're supposed to have your statement of facts, and you're supposed to have your charge, your opinion of law. That's not what you get in an indictment. In an indictment for tax evasion, what you have are two statements of opinion that are disguised as a statement of facts. So you read the first part of the indictment, and it will tell, it will say things like, and imagine in Brown's case, that the Browns had taxable income in the amount of XYZ. And say that they knew that this obligation existed. Well, the point is, when you say somebody has taxable income, that is not an issue of fact. It's an issue of opinion. Now, I guess it would technically be, if you put it in an indictment, and it's all under penalty of perjury because the prosecutor signs it, I guess that would technically be perjury. Fraud, at the least. When you put something in as a statement of fact, when you know or should know, or are negligent in not knowing, that's dishonest. That's not fair. That is called perjury. And yet that is what they do in these indictments. The only facts that you will see in a tax evasion or willful failure to file indictment that I've ever seen is a person's name and possibly where they live. Because whether someone is a resident is an issue of opinion. That is a statement of, that's a legal opinion, whether someone is a resident or not. It is not a statement of fact. Yet this is what is put in there and is disguised as a statement of facts. So right off the bat, you know there's something wrong. Is this something that the judge is going to point out? No. Is this something that the judge is even going to agree with? Probably not, as we've seen. So the judge is always going to be against the defendant. Then you look at, my gosh, you've got a jury. I don't even know. Can you really call them a jury in that case? Did they really hear the facts? Did they actually sit there and listen to the facts and apply the law? I don't think they did. Even if the judge turns around and says, instead of every taxpayer must pay, that everybody must, anybody with half a brain would say, but wait a minute. They said on the stand. They said on the stand that there was no evidence to prove that they were taxpayers. So if there's no evidence they're taxpayers, how can we convict them? There wasn't even one person on there wasn't even one person on this jury that could think like an adult. Wait a minute, they said there's no evidence. How can we convict this guy when there's no evidence? And in one of my favorite movies, which is not going to bear any relationship to the Brown case, or to really most tax cases, is 12 Angry Men, where one of the jurors, played by Henry Fonda, who wrote and produced it, was saying, well, let's talk about this. Let's just, I'm just not convinced at this point, I think you got someone's life on the line, why don't we just take a couple minutes and discuss what was presented. No one's, so eventually as they spoke about all these different points, they went through a whole different bunch of points, which of course, they came to a decision later, they unanimously said that there was there was reasonable doubt, that they could not convict this person. So, that's obviously not something that happened. We have our Manny. I have a guest who's Skyping in. Can you see what we can do about getting him on? If you haven't seen A Few Good Men, I highly recommend it. You definitely want to check that out because it gives you an idea of how, even though I don't believe in the system that it is flawed, but it does give you a really good idea of how the jury system is supposed to work. And when you watch that and then you look at the Brown case, you say, well, obviously the Browns didn't have a real jury. And it's probably why they fight so hard to the Fully Informed Jury Association, which anybody who tries to hand out those pamphlets to jury members or prospective jurors, some of them actually been prosecuted with tampering with a jury. See, heaven forbid you should tell the jury that they can decide on their conscience, that they can disregard the judge's instructions. Oh, you can't have this. Oh, how do we get all these convictions? Well, we have our guest on. I just want to introduce him. He is one of the silent sponsors and appreciate all he does to help support the show. Recently had a case, and I'm going to let him get into the details, but he had it kicked out, and I can't say enough times how much I love hearing this. I can't hear stories or people emailing me or calling me and telling me, hey, I got the case was thrown out, and for whatever reason, it's great that it gets thrown out. So without further ado, I want to welcome Sagas to the show. Welcome to the No State Project.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Great to be here.
I'm glad to have you on. Why don't you just give us a couple of details, and of course, this is your case, and you can give us whatever details you want, but what type of case it was, and just let us know, you know, basically how it happened, and some of the details, and we'll go through and talk about because I mentioned on the air before that you had caught him the prosecutor in a lie, so we definitely want to hear about that. But just start with what type of charge it was.
Well, it was just a normal traffic offense, but they consider him criminal here, so that's basically what it was. And all this started back in when was that? March of 2006.
Wow. Almost a year.
Yeah, it's almost a year, so wheels move pretty slow. Initially, I had went down. I wasn't even required to go in. You know, when you get this ticket, you get these little forms and stuff, guilty, not guilty, want a jury trial, whatever. And I decided that I wanted to go down there and I want to talk to him because I didn't really agree with what had happened and how I got this. And that's pretty interesting. I'll get into that in a minute. But when I went down to the courthouse to talk to him about it, they went through a lot of people and there's a few sitting there and the judge had asked, well, is there anybody here today that I haven't called? You know, a couple of us raised our hand and they had us go up and talk to the clerk and I told him, you know, what was going on. I wanted to talk to the judge and the prosecutor about some of the irregularities that had happened. And it took them probably about 15 or 20 minutes to even find my case. And they brought it back up, and they finally called me. The judge looked at me and said, you don't even have to be here. What are you here for? I said, well, I just have a few questions. I said, I wanted to talk to the prosecutor here and everything. And I said, I just, you know, I didn't agree with what happened. I think if we talk about this, you guys, you know, may come to understand what had happened in the case, and we can deal with all this pretty quick. I don't want to talk about any of the details.
Just want to know how you're going to pay, sir.
Yeah, basically that was it. You're either going to plead guilty or not guilty. And at that point, I realized there was no talking to him.
Well, all right, well, we got plenty of time to go through this. We'll have you on for the rest of the show. My name is Mark Stevens. We're talking with Sagas. Some details about how his traffic case that was kicked out here on the No State Project on the Republic Broadcast Network. We'll be back in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Man. Many of us have unhealthy habits that we've accumulated over the years. Often our bodies are crying out for the nutritional building blocks we require to stay young and strong, but we simply ignore the signs. Inner Health Botanicals, home of Inner Food, the revolutionary energy drink, and Nutra Cafe, the healthier coffee, offers natural and organic whole food supplements that are keys to optimum health. Our Inner Food formula delivers increased energy, incredible nutrition, and consistent use will support your immune system, greatly benefiting your health. Inner Health uses as many organic, wildcrafted whole foods and herbs as possible. Wholesome nutrition and a healthy immune system make a huge difference in your lifestyle. Heal yourself through whole foods and herbal nutrition. Visit Inner Health at innerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-food.com. Or call 866-762-9238. Inner Health is your one-stop source for energy, nutrition, and health. Look for daily specials.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back to the No State Project. I'm host Mark Stevens. Go to adventuresinlegalland.com, and since the great Eric Clapton are playing, go to Google Video, type in Clapton and Derek Trucks, and you can get some video of a recent clips from a recent concert tour that they did. Wow, is all I can say. You definitely want to check that out. Something else you definitely want to check out, February 24th, we have a tentative date set for a Sedona, Arizona workshop. That's February 24th. You can contact me at Mark Stevens at AdventuresInLegalLand.com for more details. Also go to the website, AdventuresInLegalLand.com. We'll be posting more details this week. Also, I'll also be posting some details March 12th for those here in the Valley of the Sun. I will be speaking on Monday, March 12th to the Maricopa County Libertarian Party. I'll thank Mike Renzulli for setting that up. It's March 12th at the Maricopa County. I'll be speaking to the Maricopa County Libertarian Party. Go to my website at adventuresinlegalland.com for details, as I'll be posting them this week. I want to get right back to what we're discussing. We're talking with silent sponsor Sagas, who won a traffic case. Actually, a pretty serious traffic case, considering that they give you a jury trial for this. And I want to welcome him back to the show. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, What you had mentioned before, is, and this is pretty standard when you go into traffic, they don't want anything other than two things. How are you going to pay, or guilty or not guilty? Anything other than that, they tend to get very upset. So why don't you continue from there?
Well, at that point, I realized I wasn't going to be able to talk to him about any of the details of the case, because he just said, I won't hear any details, just guilty or not guilty. I said, well, okay, I'm not a lawyer, I don't understand, so I've got a few questions here. And I started asking some pretty standard questions, about what's the nature and can I be informed of what the nature and cause is. They were really pretty busy, so I didn't go through a list of about 50 questions. I had about 5 or 6 really pointed key questions, some of them from the book, some of them from the script. And, the first one was, well, am I entitled to understand the nature and cause of this offense? And he looked at it and says, well, it's traffic ticket, petty offense, blah, 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 blah. Just pay the bleeping fine.
Gee, wow.
I've got a recording of some of this, but some of it's been edited out, but I don't think that part got on the recording because I had a friend with me there and he was having a little trouble with it, but that was the very, very beginning. And then I got into some other things. Well, is there evidence of a complaining party? Oh, well, yes, it's the trooper. I think he's the complaining party. And I got kind of flustered with some of that stuff. JT had, I think I sent him a copy of the audio and he listened to it, but there was a few things that I did catch, because he said the officer, the state trooper, was the complaining party, and I assume he works for the state. And I said, was there anybody here that represents the state? He says, well, that guy over there, and pointed to the assistant state's attorney. And I said, well, who has the burden of proof? And he says, that guy over there. I said, well, can I ask any questions? Oh, why, sure. And I said, well, do you have any evidence of a complaining party? And he just kind of shook his head and looked down at his book and started flipping through papers and just some of the standard stuff that you even talk about that in the book, when they need some help.
Yeah, that's a signal.
Yeah, and basically after that, the judge told me, he says, look, if you've got questions about procedure, I'll answer them. But he says, I haven't got time for this today. I'm not playing 20 questions. You're either going to plead guilty or not guilty, and that's it. And at that point, what went through my head was, I could continue with this, but something went through my head. It was something that Helen Keller had communicated to the world. She says, a lot of people have a wrong idea of happiness. It is not attained through self-gratification, but through fidelity to a worthy cause. And with everything that had happened and how I had originally got this ticket, I was like, I'm not guilty of this. And if there's anybody out there listening, a lot of people say, well, I'm not guilty, I didn't do that, So at that point, I just said, I'm not going to worry about this anymore. I'm just going to plead not guilty, and we'll go from there. So I told the judge not guilty.
Well, let me just jump in right now. I was thinking, we've mentioned this many times before, because now you're going. The judge has seen the complaint. He's got to be for him. He's the legal authority. Were you accused of violating anyone's legal rights?
No, I even asked that question. Whose legal rights have I been accused of violating? And he said, well, come on, it's a state. You know better than that.
Excuse me. I was like, what? Well,
state trooper wrote a ticket. He says the state trooper wrote a ticket, because it took him a couple of seconds, and he looked right square in the eye and said, well, you know better than that.
You know better than that. Just how are you going to pay? We got to go to a break. We'll continue when we get back. My name is Mark Stevens, talking with SAG Asylum sponsor about getting a traffic ticket thrown out. This is the No State Project. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
The No State Project. I'm your host, Mark Stevens. We are here every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock a.m. Central Time. Go to rbnlive.com to listen live on the net. Speaking with one silent sponsor, Sagas, discussing his traffic case that he had gotten kicked out. Sagas, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Martin.
So, finishing up with the arraignment, basically they just want you to plead, so you plead not guilty.
That's correct. Now, I want to let everybody know in this instance, I've been in a court before, been called as a witness for a civil case and stuff, so I'm kind of familiar with the surroundings and everything, but when you're the one that is standing there and you've got the black-robed one sitting 4 feet off the ground and looking down at you, you know, when you got things going through your mind, you tend to get a little nervous. So I was kind of visibly shaken, and all I want to do was just get out of there and not get thrown in jail, not make the judge any more mad than I had to, and all that. So, but I've had 4 appearances in this case, and as I went on, I become more and more comfortable. It's never comfortable really walking into a courtroom. But I become more familiar with the surroundings, so that anxiety wasn't there, so I was able to handle myself a little bit better. in later appearances.
Okay, so you got the arraignment taken care of, and I want to just jump ahead if I can. You had filed a pleading, and you went in for another appearance, and you caught the prosecutor not being truthful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What was in between there was another appearance, which was the pretrial, and JT was kind enough to send me some information on how to write motions. And, you know, at the previous one, the judge said, you know, I'm not going to play 20 questions here. You're just going to plead guilty or not guilty. So I filed a bill of particulars, a motion for discovery, and I put 20 questions on it to the judge because I was a little upset from my arraignment. So I thought I just might do that, and I don't know if they noticed that or not, but it was just my little way of making myself feel better by sending them 20 questions. But all of that was denied, and it was just some of the same basic questions that I went over, and some of it, for people that's read the book, they were, you know, standard questions that are in the book. Is there evidence of a complaining party whose legal rights have been violated? You know, what loss, harm, or injury has occurred? That type of stuff. And basically, at that one, it was very brief. The prosecuting attorney just, he's asking for legal advice. He should get a lawyer. And the judge said, well, I agree, but he has asked for, you know, a copy of the ticket and, you know, any video or camera evidence, any police report. So any of that stuff you have, you got to give it to him. And that was that. So then we get to the next one, which you ask about here, which was, I filed a motion to dismiss because by this time we're into November. And I'd looked up some of the statutes on that, and the statutes in Illinois basically say, you know, you've got 160 days to prosecute a case unless delay is occasioned by the defense.
Yeah, and that's pretty standard. It's usually between 150 and 180 days. I just want to point out, too, to everyone, this judge, who is a juris doctorate, someone who holds a doctorate degree, allowed a case and got ticked off and wanted him to plead guilty or not guilty, knowing in advance that there was no corpus delicti, knowing that there was no allegations that someone's legal rights were violated and no allegations of injury. And he still let it go forward anyway. But you can continue. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
So I filed a motion to dismiss, and in the motion to dismiss, I covered some of that corpus selecti stuff, but I didn't really know what it was called at the time, so I wrote a couple of pages here that basically had some court cases in there, such as Tyler's versus the judges of the courts of registration, that, you know, the prime object of all litigation is to establish a right asserted by the plaintiff, and the action should be brought in the name of the party whose legal right has been affected against the party who actually committed or caused the injury. And the duty of this court, as of every judicial tribunal, is limited to determining rights of persons or property which are actually controverted in the particular case before it. You know, just some of that good stuff there showing why I had asked the questions that I had asked. And when I went down for the motion to dismiss, the judge had asked me, well, do you have anything to say? Well, at this time, I realized he was asking me to defend the motion verbally, and I didn't freeze like I did on my motion for discovery. And basically, I covered some of those things. I said, look, the last time I was here, the prosecutor over here objected, claiming I was asking for legal advice. No, I'm not asking for legal advice. I'm just asking you guys to give me the facts. You know, who have I harmed or injured? But he told me, I'm asking for legal advice. I should get a lawyer. And I said, Judge, I've dealt with some lawyers before. Typically, they'll negotiate with an attorney and negotiate your fine or your fee down, and they'll say, plead guilty and pay the fine. I said, I have no need for an attorney unless you're going to, you know, force me to get an attorney. Well, no, we're not going to do that. You can handle your own case. So he says, is there anything else you'd like to say? And I said, well, yeah. I said, you know, I think Illinois statutes say you've got 160 days to prosecute this case. And I said, at this point, last time I talked to the prosecutor, I told him that continued delay was damaging to my case, to my defense, and that I wanted, you know, to bring this to trial. So I'm not asking for any delays. I never have. He has delayed this, and it's past 160 days, and I think it should be dismissed. And the prosecutor, you know, he asked, "Was, oh, Mr. State's Attorney, do you have anything to say?" "Well, Your Honor, this is the first time that this has been brought up." And he says, "It's not even contained in the motion to dismiss." I said, "Excuse me, Your Honor, if you would turn to the last page, the first paragraph," I said, "as this court is cognizant, pursuant to the 2004 Illinois compiled statute 725 ILCS 5/103-5, every person on bail or recognizance shall be tried by the court having jurisdiction within 160 days from the date the defendant demands trial, unless delay is occasioned by the defendant." And that came from West, 2005. I said, "And Section B of that statute also says every person not tried shall be discharged from custody or released from the obligations of his bail or recognizance."
And the state attorney... did
he just he shook his head, and his head went down into his hands with his hands on the desk, and he just had nothing else to say.
Oh.
The judge looked at him, the judge looked back at me, and he says, "Well, I think you may be correct, but I don't have time to count up the days right now. If you call back next week, I'll have a decision for you." So about a week goes by, I call back, and nobody wants to talk to me.
Oh.
No one. I can't get a straight answer out of anyone. I called the clerk of the circuit court. I called the state's attorney. I called the prosecuting attorney. I even tried to get a hold of the judge. And nobody would talk to me. And then the next day, in the mail, I got a handwritten motion denied.
Any grounds given?
No.
Really?
Really?
I guess when you sit 4 feet off the floor, and what he says, I love to just come in with one of those collapsible type stools and bring it in. So if I ever have to go to court again and they call me up to the bench, I can open it up and stand on it so I can look this guy right in the eye. So it's denied, and so I we don't have that much time. I want to be able to get to everything. So no grounds are given because obviously there are no grounds. I mean, any you know, nitwit can get a calendar and count from March to November, and you'll be able to do that. That's why there's no grounds there, because the judge would have to say, well, the statute says 160 days, it's 198 days, and within my discretion, but there are no grounds, so he doesn't. Because look, trust me, everybody, when a judge has grounds for his decision, he's going to give them to you. I once had a judge give me a 5 or 6 minute dissertation on why I didn't need a court reporter. Okay. But then when, you know, he denied something else had something to do with, complaining party, no explanation given whatsoever. So when they have an excuse, they give it to you. So let's just jump forward to what happened last week, if we can. So when you go in for this last appearance.
Well, after this, basically it's set for trial. So I patiently wait till my date comes. I call the day before because through this whole process, the judge and the prosecuting attorney have both told me that you should always call a day in advance of your trial or whenever you're going to be here for to make sure that the schedule hasn't changed, because sometimes we have things we have to deal with and the docket gets rearranged. So I called down on the day before, and I couldn't get anybody to talk to me. Nobody would return my calls. I talked to the state's attorney, and the state's attorney says, "Oh, well, my assistant's handling that case. You'll need to talk to him. Call back about 2 o'clock. So I call back about 2 o'clock. Wouldn't you know, still unavailable. So I leave a message with the secretary. I give all of my phone numbers, all of my contact information. So have this guy call me then if you guys can't tell me what the schedule is. Okay, yeah, sure, we'll do that. So, you know, 5 o'clock passes and no phone call. I know they're not there after 5 o'clock. So I decide I'm going to go down.
Just point out that Sagas have over 4 hours of driving time each way.
Yeah, each time, and yeah. this will be the fourth time I've been down to go to the courthouse. And so the next day I get up, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, get on the roads, want to be there on time. I get down there and sitting in the courtroom, I'm looking around. I'm the only one there. I pull out my sheet because I got a copy of the docket. There's like 25 cases on the list. It's about 5 minutes till nine. Nobody's there. Two other people walk in. And every time I've been down there, the courtroom is packed. There's three of us sitting in the courtroom on the day I'm supposed to have my trial. So about five till, I get up and I walk over to the state's attorney's office to see what's going on, because it's just across the hall from the courtroom. And I said, well, you need to talk to the attorney handling the case. He'll be with you in a moment. So I sat there and 9 o'clock comes and goes. I peek back out, said, can I go peek? Yeah, sure. He's still busy. Peek out there, make sure the judge hasn't walked in, because I don't want him to, you know, call my name and not be there and have a warrant issued for my arrest. So I go back and sit down. I said, well, nobody's in there. No, they're not going to be in there just yet. So he comes out, just, I'd like to talk to you. So I, you know, shook his hand, cordial and all that good stuff. And he says, I am just so sorry that you had to come down here today. Very sorry. I know that you had to drive, but I'm going to dismiss the case.
Thanks for saving me that. Yeah, you could have called.
Yeah. I was like, dude, you know, I called you. Oh, I got the message. Obviously, you didn't get my message. I'm like, what message? Well, I gave a message to my secretary to call you back. Obviously, you didn't get it.
Yeah, I'm supposed to know telepathically. So the message was, again,
the case is being dismissed.
And did he give you a reason?
Well, I don't think he wanted to, so I kind of sat there, and we had about a 15-minute conversation about it. And just real briefly, he talked about, you know, some of the stuff going on. He says, I know you told me you're not a lawyer, but, you know, from your paperwork and stuff like that, I can see, you know, a little bit about what's going on. But basically what it boiled down to, is, you know, you and I had talked about it a little bit last night. There were quite a few details, but what it boiled down to was, and this was the essence of what he said, was, if I put the officers on the stand, you might ask them questions that they won't be able to answer. I view this case as a waste of time for the court, for myself, for you. I'm not going to take a case to trial that I can't win.
Oh, nice. Why couldn't you tell me that back in March?
You know, so I'd had a conversation with Darren, you know, on the board, and Darren said, oh, you know, because he knew this got dismissed, he says, you might have scared him with your knowledge of your rights or something. And I said, no, it was even worse than that. I might ask his witnesses questions that they would not be able to answer and thereby undermine their case and make them look stupid on the stand. And we can't have that because they're respected officers of the law.
Well, you see, and what's important to point out, and I'm going to say this in all seriousness, the prosecutor knew he did not have the same jury from the Brown case. So he knew that if, you know, another jury may not convict, like in the Brown case. Because in the Brown case, the witnesses don't have to know what they can admit they don't know what they're talking about, have any facts or in evidence, and they still convict. I think that's great. I just wish, you know, I mean, yeah, it woulda, coulda, shoulda. You coulda saved me some time here, buddy, and you didn't have to wait, you know, you could have actually called me back after I have a record. You know, I mean, you have my contact information. Gee, a phone call?
Oh, I've given him my contact information every time that I've talked to him. So wow. Not only do they have it in the record, obviously, because they're sending me court documents and things to my address, but I make sure they had my phone number, and nobody wanted to talk to me.
Well, I know it was a whole day, but it's great that it was thrown out. I mean, and I know I wouldn't have done this, and you obviously didn't do it, but I know some people, they may have sat around and said, you know what? All right, great. Let's go talk to the judge and have the case dismissed. And then once I want my traveling time. I mean, I want the money. I mean, this guy's telling me this was a waste of time. I've come out here and spent all this time and energy on it. I'd like to be compensated. I think he should pay me for my fees.
That went through my mind. I was like, you know, hey, when I do consulting work on computers and stuff, you wouldn't believe how much money you can make. You know, it's pretty pricey in some instances.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go to a break real quick. We have a few more minutes, and Paul, stay on the line. We'll get to you after the break. My name is Mark Stevens. We've been talking with Sagas, talking about how his case was thrown out. Prosecutor realizing the truth, it was a waste of time. Of course, it's traffic. This is an No Stake Project here on the Republic Broadcast Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with the last segment.
Many of us have unhealthy habits that we've accumulated over the years. Often our bodies are crying out for the nutritional building blocks we require to stay young and strong, but we simply ignore the signs. Inner Health Botanicals, home of Inner Food, the revolutionary energy drink, and Nutra Cafe, the healthier coffee, offers natural and organic whole food supplements that are keys to optimum health. Our Inner Food formula delivers increased energy, incredible nutrition, and consistent use will support your immune system, greatly benefiting your health. Inner Health uses as many organic, wild-crafted whole foods and herbs as possible. Wholesome nutrition and a healthy immune system make a huge difference in your lifestyle. Heal yourself through whole foods and herbal nutrition. Visit Inner Health at innerfood.com. That's innerfood.com. Or call 866-762-9238. Inner Health is your one-stop source for energy, nutrition, and health. Look for daily specials.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites Congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11th through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself, or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
Back to the No Stay Project. I'm your host, Mark Stevens. Got a few minutes left. Just want to point out again, we have a tentative date set for a Sedona workshop, February 24th, 2007. only $50. We'll be going through all three scripts. Definitely going to want to check it out. And March 12th, I will be speaking to the Maricopa County Libertarian Party. I want to welcome back Sagas to the show, one of our silent sponsors, and also thank JT and our other silent sponsors for all the support they give the show. And if you're interested in being a silent sponsor and helping support the show, please contact me at markstevens@adventuresinlegalland.com. Welcome back to the show, Sagas.
Thank you.
Well, I think this is great. I want to take a quick call, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind at all. Just one thing I wanted to cover from the last segment, though, was, like I said, I did, you know, a lot of people on the board and stuff know I do some computer work and stuff, so I don't make a whole heck of a lot of money, but it, you know, it pays the bills, and basically I've had a whole week off through this whole process, and that's quite a bit of change. And
yeah,
the attorney had asked me about that. He says, well, why'd you do this? I said, well, it's the principle of the thing. And he says, every once in a while we get somebody like you that comes through that just you know, for the principle of it.
Is somebody with some integrity. Yeah. Yeah. Who would have thought? We have to tell the officers.
You know, like I said, I wanted to sit down and, you know, talk to the judge. I want reimbursed, you know. I think you added up here, it's about $2,500 worth of my time, travel expenses, meals, and lost work, and
yeah,
everything else, for you to drag this out and then say, well, it's a waste of time.
Yeah, no, thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah,
yeah,
tell the officer
that,
not to stop people with integrity anymore. We could save a lot more time. We have Paul from California, a friend, Paul. Paul, welcome to the No Stay Project.
Mark, I love your guest. What a courageous and, you know, intelligent guy. It's just great. People really need to hear these stories because it's just a house of cards that they're up. You know, I mean, they're just trying to grind you down. I give you congratulations on that.
Well, thank you very much.
I didn't hear the whole story from the beginning, but you're very well spoken, and I'm glad that it turned out that way. But yeah, I think you deserve compensation for sure.
Yeah. And I think he deserves it too. I mean, and I know a lot of anybody listening to the show who's a critic, it was a traffic case, and that's kind of a joke anyway. I'm like, oh, really? It's $1 billion a year. You know, if you add up all the so-called 50 states, it's $1 trillion a year business. So it's, and a lot of people go to jail. In fact, people here in Maricopa County, in Joe Arpaio's Tent City, there are a lot of people sitting in Tent City right now and his other gulags that are waiting for traffic trials. So, obviously, Sagas, you were looking at some jail time because, this is a criminal case and we're going to give you a jury.
Yes. And, you know, that was always in the back of my mind every time I was going through this. If I make him too mad, he just might hold me in contempt and, you know, throw me in jail. So that was always there, which made this a little more difficult. But talk about a $1 billion industry. You are correct.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
the prosecuting attorney just basically told me, he says, you know, most people just pay the fine and go on about their business.
Yeah, makes it easy. And that's the way they do it. That's the way they want it to be. Well, we're out of time. Sagas, I appreciate you coming on the show and all you do to help support. Paul, always good to hear from you. I wish we could have gotten to you a little sooner. We'll have more time next week. Maybe we could talk about this a little more. My name is Mark Stevens. You've been listening to the only show dedicated to bringing about a voluntary society. This is the No Stay Project on the Republic Broadcast Network. Come on! Such as government.